And so we just want to continue to pray for all the rest of our family that are watching online today that are not here. And we know that, you know, several people feel more comfortable staying home still right now. And so we want to pray and just ask God to bless them as well as they watch. And I just want to encourage you guys and tell you, you know, there's no substitute. I said this last Sunday. It's great, and I'm so thankful to have the technology that we have to be able to go live and to be able to see each other and for people to hear the word. But I don't know about you. The Bible tells us that, you know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because there's a power when we come together. I thank God for my relationship with Him when I'm by myself and when I'm praying at home. But something happens, and there's a strength that we have when we gather together and when we come together that we don't necessarily have when we're alone. So I just want to encourage you to press into that and continue to do that. And I want to just say this morning, before we get started with the message today, we've got a couple of announcements. The first one is this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m., we're going to be having our first Wednesday service. So we're going to be here in the building. We're going to have some hot wings afterwards, and we're going to have a Bible study in the beginning. And so we want to encourage you, if you can make it and you want to be a part of that, we're going to be talking about some things that we think are pertinent to the situation that we're all living in right now. The world has, you know, changed in a lot of ways, and so we're going to be talking about some of those things and encouraging you, and we just want to encourage you to come out and be a part of that. And then we also want to just encourage everybody, if you're giving today, you can use one of the tithes and offering envelopes. You can use that, and if you need one of those, you can grab that in the back. Brian can get you one of those before you leave, and you can always give online like you're continuing to do. This past Saturday, we had an outreach scheduled, and because of the weather, we had to postpone that, and I believe we postponed that to September the 26th. Is that right? So we'll be doing that outreach September the 26th instead, and that'll be going from probably 11 to 2 p.m. where we're going to be giving away groceries and things like that. And so we're excited about that. We'll have an opportunity to pray for families in the area. We also want to let anybody know that has need for food and groceries. We have a food bank here at the church, and so if you need some groceries today, you make sure you let us know before you leave, and we want to make sure that we help you with that. And I want to just say thank you to those of you who are giving to that and donating to that, and that's a blessing to many families. Amen? Amen. Well, what we're going to do today is Pastor Crystal and I are going to tag team a message this morning. And so what we're going to do is I want to just go ahead and pray, and then she's going to start us off this morning, and then I'm going to jump in at some point here with her and hear what God is going to say to us this morning. So I'm so excited. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray for her. And if you would just stretch your hand forward this way, we believe God's got a word for us this morning. And so, Father, we just come to you right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the word that you've placed in our hearts today. And Father, I pray that you would anoint my wife today to preach the word of God with boldness, with passion. God, I thank you that you have called her to preach and you've called her to teach the word. And so, Father, I pray today that you would anoint her. I pray that our ears would be open to hear and that you would give us grace and mercy to hear your love and your presence and your wisdom coming through her today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. We're just waiting for online to get started. And so if you're taking notes, the name of, it's probably going to be our series, is Identity. I want to welcome everybody online. It's so good to see you this morning. Pastor James and I are going to be tag teaming a message these next couple weeks, and the title of it is Identity. And at first, I just want to leave you to be thinking on a quote I heard. I sent it to some of you ladies already from Lisa Bevere. And she said, "You become dangerous to the enemy when you become fully awake to God." And I just want us to hold on to that throughout these next couple weeks as we're going through this series, and let that just penetrate you. You know, when you become fully awake to God and what He has called you to do, who He has called you to be, and who He says you are, we become dangerous to the enemy. And how many of you know that the enemy tries so hard to keep us from knowing everything that God has for us? He tries to keep that separated from us, and He He keeps our eyes focused straight on the things around us and not up on Him. And I just want to encourage you this morning that God has a plan for you. God has called you. Even the Bible says, even from your mother's womb, He has spoken over you. He has given you something. And I want to encourage you this morning, you become dangerous to the enemy. You are not weak like He says you are. You are not what He says you are. You are what God says you are. And I'm not going to get ahead of myself. I will go into some of that later, but I want to have you just take that, what Lisa Bevere said, so powerful, and let's just hold that in our hearts for a while and just let that. Pastor James and I like to watch a lot of outdoorsy kinds of things, especially for me, if it's in Alaska. I have a love for Alaska. Never lived there. I don't know why. Maybe if I go there, I might change my mind, but I love just the thought of even just going to Alaska and just living like homesteading or something, you know, just for a little bit. I don't think it's my life permanently, but watch these shows, and I think one of the shows we watch is called Mountain Men, and it's these different men and their lives and what they do, and this one man is actually hired hand by this cow farmer, and what he does with him and his dog or dogs, depending on how many he takes with him, he protects the herd from mountain lions and predators that would come and try and hurt the herd, because, you know, like one cow is worth like thousands of dollars. And so what he does is he takes his dogs and he goes and he protects them. I'm just setting this up for you so you can see where I'm going. And a mountain lion and his dog in this one episode we watched actually chased a mountain lion up a tree. Now, I don't know if you can picture that, but that mountain lion was huge. That dog looked like a little tiny little ant compared, right, to this mountain lion in the tree. And as funny as that sounds, God began to speak to me. And how many of you know, and I say this all the time, God speaks to us all the time. Are we listening to what He's saying? And God began to speak to me about this. And I'm like, how could that tiny little dog and his tiny little bark, right, chase a mountain lion up a tree? This thing is huge. If it only knew the power and strength that it had, it could just like swipe and wipe that dog out, right? And I began to think about my life and our lives as Christians and how we are that way sometimes. Sometimes the enemy has put something and it is just chasing us or dragging us everywhere. And it's just this small little thing. And because we don't know who we are in Christ totally, that thing has power over us and that thing has authority over us. And I'm here to tell you today that nothing has authority over you. Jesus Christ has authority over you unless you allow it to. And I'm telling you right now, you can stop it today in Jesus' name, because God has given us the power and authority. And I'm going to go into that scripture later too, but it does say in Luke 10:19 that I have given you power and authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Not just some, but if you are in Christ Jesus this morning, God has given you authority over everything. There is not one thing that God has not given us authority over. There is not one sickness that we cannot pray for and be. We have all the authority bestowed on us because of Christ Jesus. Amen. God is so good. You know, He doesn't leave us weaponless. He doesn't leave us helpless. And if you're feeling that way this morning, I want to encourage you. You are not helpless. God is with you. He is walking beside you in Jesus' name. So me, I went to just some statistics because I'm a visual person. So bear with me as I go through some statistics about lions and dogs, because I wanted to give myself a clear picture of the power, just the great power of this mountain lion that's cowering in this tree by this tiny little dog. Now, I don't know if most of you know, I didn't know what kinds of dogs hunted, so I had to look it up, obviously. And so it's like usually a type of hound dog are the dogs that usually go and hunt and chase the lions. And so a male lion weighs between 110 and 180 pounds. A female lion is 80 to 130 pounds. A male dog and a female, this is about an average range for both of them, 45 to 70 pounds. Now just picture that. That's like my little grandson. He's probably not even 20 pounds, so maybe that's not even a good example. But like a tiny little, maybe 4 or 5 year old, 45 pounds, All my kids were really big, so I don't know how big other people's kids were, but my kids at a young age were really, they were about 40, 50 pounds at about five. And so it's like them compared to their dad, and them chasing their dad ferociously, scaring him away. Can you just imagine that this morning? Like, they must know that they had the power. So a male lion's height is 6 to 8 feet. A female is 5 to 7 feet. So about my height or bigger for a female. The dog, now get this, is only 22 to 27 inches long, right? The female is 21 to 26. So that is like nothing compared to this massive lion. If you can just picture this in your head, like I said, bear with me, I'm a visual person. I had to picture just the sheer power of this mountain lion that it didn't know that it had. And how many of us know that that's who God is saying we are? He's saying to us right now, look, you are like that. You are bigger. You are greater because I live in you. It's not because of me. It's not because of Crystal, because without God, I am nothing. But because of Christ who lives in me, that's who I am. I'm like that lion. I'm strong. I'm powerful. And I don't boast in my own self. I boast because of Christ Jesus who lives in me, who has transformed me, and who has said that that's who I am. And he has said, if you're in Christ Jesus, and had no idea that it had the power to destroy the dog. It was up a tree. It had no idea how strong and powerful it is. And how many of us today feel like something has been chasing us around or has chased us up a tree, or maybe we're cowering somewhere from some kind of fear or something because we don't know what my questions sometimes, why does this or that have a hold of me or chase me around or I can't break free? Why have I dealt with this for years and years and years and I just can't break free? I tell you why, because maybe we don't know what the Bible says about that. Maybe we don't know what God is saying to us fully. Maybe we do in part, but how many times have we gone through things and it just keeps coming up and said, oh God, I thought I dealt with that, but here it is again. And God is saying, you have in part, but now I'm showing you the other part. It could be that, like the lion, we don't know we don't know our true strength or identity in Christ. And I want to give you a quick A definition of identity. I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary. It says the fact of being who or what a person is, the qualities, beliefs, or personality of a person. That is our identity according to Webster's Dictionary. Now, this is what God says about our identity when we get saved. In Galatians 2:20, I'm going to read just three different versions, two of this one and one of Luke, but all the other versions are up here, so if you don't want to change your Bible or your Bible app, it'll be up there, and if you can't see it, we'll let you know what it says. In Galatians 2:20, I'm going to read New King James Version, and I wrote New King James because that's how I memorized this scripture. So it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. To me, that is one of the most important scriptures. If we're going to know who we are with Christ, it is saying old Crystal does not exist anymore, but the Christ Crystal is what's living now. And I love what the Passion Translation, I'm just going to read the first part of that. It says, my old identity has been co-crucified with the Messiah, meaning who I was before I knew Christ is no longer existent. If I allow God to come in and fill me fully, then that's who lives within me. That's who I'm going to act like. That's who I'm going to speak like. That's who I'm going to think like. That's who I'm going to believe like. I'm going to be like Christ in everything that I do. And if I'm not, I'm going to pray and ask him to help me, because when I am weak, he is strong. Here are some more scriptures, just if you want to write them down. There, I just want to encourage you. The Bible is so full of scriptures of who God says we are. And I just pulled like just a few. There were so many, I couldn't even go with them all day. I couldn't even tell you. So I would just encourage you, if you're curious, I would encourage you to look it up. And see what God says about you and who you are. So Galatians 3:26 says we are children of God. Galatians 4:7 says, I'm no longer a slave to sin, which means sin does not have a hold on me. It cannot drag me here or there. God has the authority and given me the authority to stand against sin. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are ambassadors for Christ. And I know Pastor James has preached on this before. If you're an ambassador, you are a representation of whatever company or whoever sent you. You represent them anywhere you go. If we are ambassadors for Christ, then everywhere we go, we should be representing Christ to the fullness of him. Deuteronomy 28:13, this is one of my favorites. We used to sing a song in Jacksonville. It says, you're the head and not the tail. And Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. And these, like I said, are just a few things of what God says we are. He says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. He goes on to just talk about who we are in Christ. And I'm just saying, it is so easy to lose who we are. It is so easy when we are seeing and hearing things in the news and things that are happening around us with all kinds of different issues all around the world, not just here in America. There are things happening everywhere. I just read an article from Voice of the Martyrs this past week where this Chinese pastor's house has been taken over by the communist government. He has been put in a communist jail, whatever, I don't know what that's called, and his wife is under constant surveillance, and his son is picked up by the police, taken to their communist school to be brainwashed into how they believe that they should feel and think, all because he was a pastor of the church and he was leading believers in China to Christ. They have taken over his church. They have taken over his house. And I just want to say this. He knows who he is in Christ. His wife has to know who she is in Christ. Their son has to know who he is in Christ. Look, people, we can get so absorbed with things that are going on here in America. And yes, we should, because there are important things that are happening here that we need to be praying for as believers. We need to be standing in the gap for people. We need to be praying. But it's not just here. It's everywhere. We cannot be so blindsided to the gospel. They're dying. People, families are being separated everywhere because the enemy comes to divide. He comes to divide cultures. He comes to divide people groups. He comes to divide church and the world. He comes to divide us in any way we can. You know, the Bible even says he comes to divide mother against daughter, father against son. He is the God of division. God loves to bring peace. He comes to bring oneness. He comes to join us all together. And I just want to encourage you this morning. We cannot be so focused on what's just right and around us. We have to be ready to do what God is calling us to do. And I have been praying for China this week because of that. I have been praying for America, yes, and for our country, yes, but I have been praying for people everywhere because the devil is on the move. And this is what the Bible tells us, that he is on the move like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But how many of you know we serve a God who is the Lion of Judah? He is the lion, and he can devour anything that the enemy is bringing our way. I'm here to encourage you this morning. We've got to look up to the one who tells us who we are, so we can stand firm when the enemy comes against us and we know who we are. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. In Luke 10:19, I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Because I love the little extras that it adds in there. It says, listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess. If you are in Christ Jesus, you possess this authority. I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and scorpions and the ability to exercise authority. So not only do we have the authority, but God is releasing us to exercise the authority that he's given us over all the power of the enemy, who is Satan, and nothing will in any way harm you. Nothing in any way will harm you. Will we go through trials and tribulations? Yes. Will things happen and come against us? Yes. Will it harm us? It can't, because God just said in his word. Will we be sad? Maybe yes. Will we lose peace? Only if you allow it to take your peace from you. The Bible says that if we are connected to the vine, who is Christ Jesus, then we will walk in the fruits of the Spirit. So how do I stay connected? By reading your word, by praying, by joining hands with fellow believers and encouraging each other. And that's how we walk in strength with each other. If I'm feeling like my peace is slipping, my husband knows. He'll tell me, hey, maybe you should go pray, right? Because he knows I need to be connected to God. Only can harm me if I allow it. And I just want to leave you with, I don't know who the author is. It didn't say, but it says, our true identity is found when we stop being who we are and start being who we were created to be. So I want to encourage you with those two things. Your identity is found when you stop being, and I stop being who we are, who I think I am, who I believe, start being who we were created to be. And we just read some of those scriptures. We're overcomers. We're the head and not the tail. And just keep in your back of your mind for these next couple of weeks about what Lisa Bevere says. You and I become dangerous to the enemy when we become fully awake in God.
Amen. Amen. Well, I want to just share with you, I'm gonna share many of the same scriptures that Pastor Crystal was talking about this morning. And I just want to go back really quick to the now, you know, line, because when we started talking about that, we both were just like, wow, you know, what a representation of what is going on even now in many Christians' lives and in many churches. That mountain lion is so powerful, and it has all that it needs to defeat that dog, but it runs from the dog. And why does it run from the dog? Because it doesn't know who it is. It's faster than the dog. It's stronger than the dog. But what's happening is it's afraid of the dog's bark. And I want to go back and look at 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9 one more time and just read this to you. In the New King James Version, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And that's exactly what she was talking about, that so many times we get caught up in what's going on in our lives that we think we're the only ones that are facing certain things. Have you ever felt that way before? It seems like we get kind of separated from everybody else, and we begin to think in our minds, and that's what the devil wants to do, is get us to thinking, well, you're the only one that deals with this. You're the only one that's dealing with this particular thought, or you're the only one that's dealing with this particular weakness or this thing in your life. And the devil wants to get us that way, because if he can get us to begin to think that way, then we think there's something wrong with us and we're the only ones that are dealing with that. Meanwhile, the word of God saying, no, your brothers in all the world are dealing with these same things. So 1 Peter 5, 8 tells us that the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want you to understand the power of that word may, because there's a big difference between can and may. And I want to tell you where I learned this in the fifth grade. I'm going to give a shout out to Miss Henson, my fifth grade teacher, today. And I didn't really like learning that in the fifth grade from Miss Henson, because I would go and I would say, Miss Henson, can I go to the bathroom? And she would say, I don't know, Mr. Grayson, can you? And I would say, yes, ma'am. And I would say, can I go? And she would say, I don't know, can you? And she would keep saying that, and she would say, the correct way to phrase that question is, may I go to the bathroom? You're asking me, may I go? See, can I go to the bathroom is basically asking about ability. So can the devil destroy you? That is seeking who he can devour. That is talking about who he has more power or more ability. So can he destroy you is one question, seeking whom he can devour. But there's another thing when it says seeking whom he may devour. So what does that mean? That means there are people that he may not devour, because he does not have the permission. He may have the ability to do that. The devil is going around seeking whom he may devour. So what does that tell us? That tells us there are people that he may not devour, and there are people that he may devour. And I don't know about you, but if you live in Christ, like Pastor Crystal was talking about this morning, before I gave my life to Jesus Christ and before I was walking in fellowship with him, I can tell you the devil was devouring me. He was eating my lunch. He was doing all kinds of things to me, and there was nothing that I could do about it. Every time I turned around, something was going on, something bad. This was happening, that was happening. But now I live in Christ, and what does that mean? That means the devil may not devour me anymore if I know who I am in Christ. If I understand who I am in Christ, he may not do that. The devil isn't seeking people he has the ability to devour. He's seeking people that he has the permission to devour. People who say they don't need the church, it's just them and Jesus. How many do you know, I've talked to so many people that will say that, well, listen, I'm a Christian and I love God, but I don't need the church, it's just me and Jesus. Let me ask you this, let's think about this line for a minute. How many of you have ever seen a zebra on the savannah by itself eating grass? You ever seen that happen? You ever seen the zebra walk out in the Serengeti Plain and say, listen, I'm a zebra. It's just me and God out here. I don't need the herd. I'm just going to walk out here wherever I want to walk. I'm going to eat grass wherever I want to eat grass. The zebras don't do that because what do they know? They understand that there's a lion going around seeking whom it may devour. And if they go out by themselves and they think they're going to make it on their own and they don't understand that their identity is not alone but it's with the herd, they are going to get picked off. And we've seen that on National Geographic. You see the lion come out and creep around, and what is he doing? He's looking for the straggler. He's not going into the middle of the herd looking at the edge that think they can do it on their own. And I want to tell you today that your identity in Christ is that you are part of a body. My identity in Christ is that I can't make this walk on my own. I need the other body parts with me. I need the rest of the body of Christ. And I don't know about you, but so many times in my life, I have been going the wrong way, or that somebody in the body of Christ was able to speak life to me, and somebody was able to say, listen, you can't do that. Listen, you can't think that way. Listen, brother, come in here and let me pray for you. Let me gather together with you and pray and see God break this thing. And I'm telling you today, our identity cannot be one of solo Christian. It's got to be one of a Christian that's a part of the body. Amen? You and I are not just people that have a relationship with God and that's it. We're people that have a relationship with God horizontally or vertically, and then we have a relationship with each other horizontally. We're part of the body of Christ. Amen? Verse 9 tells us, resist him. Resist him in the faith. So what does that mean today as a believer in Jesus Christ? If you're in Jesus, you're a resister. How many of you knew that today? Do you take that upon yourself? You're a resister of the evil one. The Bible says, resist him in the faith. So if we don't understand that, we just think we're going to go out into the world and live any old way and not live in a position of resistance. That doesn't mean to wait for the devil to come after me, and then when he jumps on me and bites me, then I'm going to start fighting him. No, that means to take an aggressive posture right now to resist the devil, to resist sin, to resist the things that the devil is trying to push into your family and into your life and into your mind and into your church. It means that we rise up in faith. That's what the Bible says. Resist him in faith. Resist him in the faith. Let me ask you today, how many of us today are using our faith to resist the devil? Did you know that God has given you faith? What is the faith is the shield of faith. And many people think that shield is just to protect ourselves. But did you know, if you study about the shield in battle in times like medieval times and even before that, the shield was one of the greatest weapons that a soldier had on the battlefield. It was greater. He would rather lose his sword than lose his shield. Because if you have your shield, you can fight with your shield. You can push the enemy back with your shield. You can do all kinds of things with your shield. You can protect others with your shield. And I'm telling you today that God has called you, believer, to have an identity to understand that you're a resister, and what God has given you to resist the enemy with is the shield of faith that he has given you. It's a powerful thing, and many of us are just laying that down right now in these times that we're living in. We're expecting the government to protect us. We're expecting something else to protect us. We're looking for help from all these other places instead of going to God and saying, you have made me, O Father, a resister in the faith, and you have given me the gift of faith to stand and begin to push the enemy back. And I'm telling you today that as we rise up as the body of Christ and each one of us takes our place and takes the shield of faith and picks that up, we will begin to push the enemy out of our lives, out of our families, out of our churches, out of our country in Jesus' name. Amen. But you have to understand who you are. You're a resister in the faith. So I want to encourage you today, act like it. Be a resister. When you go into a situation and the devil is coming in like a flood, understand that God puts you there to stand up and use your faith and begin to say, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to stand by and watch this happen. I have weapons that come from God that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God has gifted us as the body of Christ to be able to run these things out in Jesus' name. You resist the enemy by your faith. You understand that your identity is not a solo sufferer, right? That's what the devil wants us to think. Okay, well, I just got to suffer on my own. I got to go through this on my own. I'm lonely and all this stuff is happening and it's just me and all these things are attacking me. You understand that your identity is not a person to be alone. Your identity in Christ is not a person to suffer alone. You're facing the same sufferings that your brotherhood all over the world are facing. Look at that verse 9. He's saying, listen, pick up the shield of faith and resist the enemy and resist him with this thought in your mind. You are not alone. You're part of the body of Christ, and your brothers and sisters all over the world right now are resisting with you. You're part of something greater than you if you're in the body of Christ. You're not just a solo person all alone by yourself, but you're part of something that is the most amazing thing in the world, the body of Christ. Amen? Luke 10:19, I'm going to read that in the New King James Version. Pastor Crystal read this verse earlier and spoke about it. He says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I love this verse. It's such an amazing verse. It's such a powerful verse. She read it in the Amplified Version of the Bible as well. And what does this verse tell us as believers? See, you have to know who you are in Christ. We can't keep thinking of ourselves the way we used to think of ourselves. I've shared this analogy with you before. When I grew up, I was so short. I was really, really short. And my dad was a lot bigger than me when I was a kid. And we had the same name. So guess what? I was Little James, and my dad was Big James. And my whole life growing up, I was Little James, Little James, Little James. Everybody knew me as Little James. And then when I was like in the 11th grade, all of a sudden my dad's 5'8". I'm 6 feet tall. But guess what? I was still Little James. Even today when I go back home and I see people that I haven't seen in years, what do they call me? Little James. And I'm thinking to myself, have you seen my dad lately? I'm way taller than he is. And see, the problem is that so many of us as Christians, we still think of ourselves the way we used to be before we came into Christ. We still consider ourselves like we used to be before Jesus began to grow on the inside of us and we became a different person. There are Christians today that say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner. I'm still a sinner. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can't be a sinner and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus at the same time. It's true that I used to be a sinner and I'm saved by grace, but I'm not a sinner saved by grace anymore. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done on the cross for me. I can't be both. I can't be. And the problem is, the devil wants you to say, I'm a sinner that's just saved by grace. Why? Because that gives you a license to do what? Keep on sinning. I'm just like everybody else. There's nothing different about my life. I'm the same as I used to be. I'm just saved by grace. So, hey, you know I'm going to mess up, so I'm going to go ahead and let you know, hey, I'm going to be messing up now. I'm going to get mad at you. I'm going to say something I ought not to, and then what am I going to say? I'm just a sinner saved by grace, right? Instead of understanding, no, Jesus said, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying, listen, son, listen, daughter, your identity just changed when you came into me. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And now you've got to quit thinking like that if you're going to walk into the identity that I've called you to walk in. And it's time for Christians to begin to rise up and say, I can't identify with that old identity anymore. You know what the problem with the children of Israel was? They were slaves for 400 years, and when they went into the promised land, they were still acting like slaves. They weren't acting like the children of God, the conquerors of God. And because of that, they didn't go and do what God called them to do. And those first ones that went in had to die in the wilderness, and that second generation rose up and said, okay, if God says that we're conquerors, then that's who we are. And I'm just telling you today, God says you're a conqueror. That new idea. The Word of God says you're a conqueror, but you have to receive that and you have to walk in that new identity. I'm no longer a victim to sin. I'm a victor through the authority that Jesus Christ has given me. Now, I want to share a story with you today as I get ready to close, and I want to share this story with you. It's a historical story, so hard to happen, and I think it illustrates this point so well, and the first time I heard this, it hit me so hard. How many of you have ever heard of General Wainwright? In World War II, General Wainwright was one of the leading generals in the United States Army, and he was tasked by General MacArthur to hold the Philippines no matter what. And if you remember, if you know anything about our history, basically what was happening is that the Japanese were destroying us in the Philippines. We were getting blistered there. And General Wainwright was the one that was responsible for holding that. And the battle got so fierce where General MacArthur was that he had to retreat to Australia. And his last words to General Wainwright were, listen, hold it at all costs. And all of a sudden, General Wainwright just keeps getting attacked, and he keeps going down. The baton had happened and all these different things, and he was down to one small island, and he had all these men, and he was completely surrounded, and he knew that it was over. And so what did he do? He surrendered the forces because he said, listen, if we fight, every one of these guys are going to be killed, and I'm the person in charge. I can't do that, so I'm going to have to surrender this island. And he surrendered. While he surrendered, General MacArthur, like I said, he was in Australia. He had retreated. And so General MacArthur was upset with General Wainwright, but he retreated and was in Australia. Now, a couple of years later, we fought back. General MacArthur came, and you know the rest of the story. We defeated the Japanese there in the Pacific, and they ended up, General MacArthur won the victory. But when General Wainwright lost that, he became a POW. And he was the highest ranking POW. You can look this up and read about his story. He was the highest ranking prisoner of war in World War II. The only general that was captured. Can you imagine the shame that he must have felt for years, wondering if he had made the right decision? He knew that his commander had told him, don't surrender, don't give up. And he had made that decision, and he had to live with that for years. He was tortured. He lived under the shame and the torture of the enemy. And like I said, General MacArthur eventually won the war. And at the end of the war, it took another week for the news to reach General Wainwright. So I want you to understand, for a week we had won, but he was in a prisoner of war camp that news had not reached yet, and he was still a captor. And all of a sudden, one day, the news came that Japan had lost. And guess what happened in the moment that news came out? General Wainwright, and he took being a prisoner of war to the commander of that camp in 1 second. And he took control, and he told the Japanese surrendered to him that were there. He took control of that, and I want you to think about this, because what happened is the defeated to the victor. And what's amazing about this, General Wainwright in one moment went from defeat to the victor. And what's amazing about this, the dishonored man, like I said, it took another week for news to reach him of the U.S. victory. General Wainwright won the Medal of Honor for his actions, because what he did saved the lives of so many men. And guess what happened? Many of you have seen this famous picture with General MacArthur on the battleship when the Emperor of Japan comes and surrenders the sword. There was one person sitting by General MacArthur, and guess who it was? General Wainwright. He had General Wainwright come out and sit there beside him. Now, what does that have to do with what we're talking about today? What does that have to do at all? See, you have to know who you are and stop living like you were in order for God's true identity to take place in you. I want you to think about good news. Wainwright for years was a POW. And in one day, when the good news that the battle had been won reached his ears, He threw that mantle of a POW off, and he rose up, and he took his rightful place. In other words, he assumed his true identity, and he said, listen, I'm in command now. All of a sudden, the one that was the captor becomes the one that was the captive becomes the captor. The one that was defeated has become victorious. And can I tell you something today? That Jesus Christ, so many of us have surrendered areas of our life, and you may have surrendered to this area of sin, and you may be looking at it and thinking, my God, what is going on in my life? I've been destroyed in this area of my life, or I don't know what's going on. And I want to tell you today, I want to be the bearer of good news that lets you know Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary won the battle of sin in your life. He destroyed the power of sin in your life, and you don't have to be a captive to that thing anymore, but you can rise up and throw off that identity of a sinner today through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and you can take your rightful place as a son and daughter of the Most High God, and you can begin to walk in victory over sin that used to have you captive. I don't know about you today, but that's good news to me. I'm excited when I think about that. See, General Wainwright could have remained a POW after news of the victory reached him. That's the sad thing that happens in many churches today, that Christians hear that word and they hear the good news. There's victory in Jesus' name. We've won the war. The battle for sin has been paid for on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus paid the price, it was paid, friends. Victory has already been secured. The only thing is that the devil, if he can keep you thinking that you're powerless, if he can keep you thinking that you have nothing, you're going to be just like that mountain lion running from a little dog. You're going to be a person that has the power of the living God on the inside of you and the birthright to rise up and walk in newness of life and walk the way God called you to walk. But you can run from the enemy if you choose to do that today. And that's the crazy thing about what's going on. See, General Wainwright used his new status as victor, and he took charge of his captors and his torturers. Now, I want to tell you today, he took the authority over the power of his enemy. Now, I have a question for you today as we get ready to close and I get ready to pray for you. Will you receive the victory of the battle that Jesus won on the cross today, and will you walk in his authority? Jesus has paid for you. Just like General Wainwright, he surrendered to the enemy. Many of us have surrendered areas of our life to the enemy. We've surrendered in this area. Maybe we've surrendered in lust, or maybe we've surrendered in anger. Maybe we've surrendered in fear. The devil's doing everything he can right now, like that dog barking, barking, barking. He's trying to make you afraid of everything he possibly can. He's trying to run you away from God. He's trying to run you away from the church. He's trying to run you away from everything that he possibly can. He's going to do everything in his power. But what does Luke 10:19 tell us? It says that God has given us authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. The Bible tells us to resist the enemy with our faith, to rise up and resist him in our faith. And I want to challenge you today and encourage you today, and I want to ask you today, what will you do? What identity will you take today? Will you go out of here today knowing that Jesus Christ has won the victory over sin? He's won the battle over sin. Will you go out of here today knowing that and still surrender to it? Or will you be like General Wainwright, and when that good news hits your ear, will you rise up and throw off that old mindset? And throw off that old identity. And will you say, listen, I used to be a POW, but guess what? I'm General Wainwright again. I used to be a captive in this place, but guess what? I'm the commandant now. I used to get drug around by you and tortured by you, but now you're going to answer to me. And that's the power that Jesus Christ gives us over sin when we repent of our sins and we get on our knees before God and we put our faith in him. So I want to just leave you with that today, and I want to encourage you today. Is there unconfessed sin in your life? Are there things that you've surrendered to and you're allowing them to dominate your life? I've got good news for you today. If that's you, the power of Jesus Christ is here today to set you free. Those of you that are watching right now, I've got good news for you. No matter where you are, the power of God is here today to set us free no matter where we are. You do not have to have the identity of being a person that is bound in sin today. You can have a new identity in Jesus Christ. You can receive that today if you repent of your sins and put your faith in the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Pastor, how do I do that? It's real simple. You make a decision today and you say, God, I can't do this without you. Last week we talked about the grace of God and we talked about the spiritual disciplines in changing. And we talked about how those things work together. And I want to tell you today, the first step in changing your identity is repenting of your sin and putting your faith in Jesus. Now, I want to just encourage you to do that today. And if you, right where you're sitting, if there's anything in your life you know and you say, God, you know what? I know I'm a believer. I know I'm a Christian. And I know I've been following you, God, to the best of my ability, but I surrendered this area. I surrendered my peace because I allow the devil to just come in and do whatever he wants in my mind. I surrendered my joy. Because I used to be full of joy and I used to be full of the grace of God and the joy of God. But I surrendered that because of these situations that are in my life. And God, today I want to repent of that and I want to come back to you. I want to pray today. And if that's you, just pray right where you are because God will touch you and God will move in your life today. And I'm telling you, you are who God says you are. You're not who the world says you are. You're not who the devil says you are. You're not who your mom and dad said you were. You're not who your boss says you are. You're not who your children say you are or who anybody else says you are. You are who God says that you are. And if you'll rise up and take your rightful place in Jesus Christ, you're going to start thinking about yourself differently. You're going to start acting differently. You're going to start living differently because why? You know who you are in Christ. And we're going to continue this series talking about who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ. And I'm just encouraging you over the next few weeks, I want to challenge you, like Pastor Crystal said, get in the Word of God and find out who does God say that you are? Who does God declare you to be? Because when you understand who God has declared you to be, you can walk and become all that He said that you are. Amen? If you don't do that, you're going to be left with your understanding of who you are, or the devil's understanding of who you are, or others' understanding of who you are. And that's not who we want to be. Amen? So I want to pray for you today as we get. I thank you for the grace of your word today. Thank you, Father, for moving in our hearts. I thank you for my brothers and sisters right now who are here today, God, and who are watching online. And Lord, I ask you today that you would put your finger on areas of our lives where we have surrendered to the enemy, where we have not taken our rightful place. God, this is not a message of freedom that we can have in you, Lord. And Father, I thank you today that you did not come into this world to condemn the world, but you came that we might have life. And Lord, I thank you that if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. And I speak right now over everyone in this place, and I declare that you are who God says you are. You're not who you think you are. You're not who you used to be. You're not the sins that you've committed. You're not the things that you have done in the past, but you are who God says that you are. If you've repented and put your faith in Jesus Christ. And Father, right now, if anybody's here and they need to do that, I pray, God, that you would move in their hearts and lives. Lord, forgive all of us of our sins today. Forgive us of our shortcomings today. Forgive us of thinking that we are who we think we are. Or forgive us, Father, for thinking we're who the devil says that we are or who somebody else says that we are. And God, we ask you, that over the next few weeks, God, even starting today, that you're going to begin to change some things in our minds. You're going to begin to show us in an even greater level who we are in Christ. And I just declare that over your week, this week, that God is going to begin to show you in an even greater way who you are in Christ. Who you are. Who you are. Who He's declared you to be. And Father, we thank you for that. We give you praise for that. I thank you for the shield of faith that you have given to each of my brothers and sisters. And I ask you this week, God, that that faith would grow in Jesus' name. I ask you that they would resist the enemy with it, that they would raise up that shield of faith and they would push the enemy back from their lives, from their homes, from their workplaces, from the church, from this country. Father, that they would push the enemy out with their faith. Resist in Jesus' name. You're a resister in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that you've empowered each of us, God, to live victorious lives in Jesus. We're the head, like Pastor Crystal said in Deuteronomy 28, and not the tail. You're not the tail today. You're the head in Jesus' name. You've been placed there by Jesus. Not anything you did. Not how much Bible you read or how much you prayed or how much you served or how much you gave or any of that stuff. It's because of what he's done. And now you're free to serve him, not out of having to, but you can serve him because you love him and you want to. It's a completely different life. It's a completely different identity. You're not serving so that he will bless you. You're serving because you're already blessed. Lord, we thank you for that. We give you praise for that. And Father, I bless your people today. Lord, may today be a day of victory. May this week be a week of victory. Father, I pray for each and every family, each and every marriage, each and every child, Father, that's represented, every family member, Father, in this place, every one of our family members that doesn't know you, God, let this week be the week that you would break through in their lives, God. Let this week be the week that you would give us words that would penetrate their hearts, God. Lord, we pray for sick bodies today and we say peace and we say name of Jesus. We pray for those that are facing financial difficulty. We give you praise for it. You need in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for it. We give you praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, guys, God bless you. If you've got any prayer requests, if there's anything that you would like for us to stand with you in faith about, I'm going to be down here. Pastor Crystal will be down here at the front. Please come down. Let us pray for you. So good to see you in the house of the Lord today. And we hope that you'll be able to come back on Wednesday night. We're probably going to stay in this same vein on identity on Wednesday night, but we're definitely going to have part two next Sunday. Amen? God bless you guys, and we'll see you Wednesday.